Lower your expectations. Season 3, it's a hockey podcast with Lance, Coach, and Randall. Hello and welcome to the Youth Hockey Podcast. Lance, I just have to hit you with something that I found out just before this podcast went to recording. Something that's going to make you very happy.
Okay.
We are number 2 in South Korea right now in the hockey podcast realm. I'm not saying that that makes us like king of all of South Korea and all South Korea ice hockey, but I'm telling you, I feel pretty good about it. How about yourself?
That is awesome. I knew we were
number big, 2. I know. I couldn't believe it. I was like, are you kidding me? Why do you think we resonate so much, Coach Raleigh? With the emerging markets like this, what's going on?
I have no idea. Some Korean players or coaches.
I won't rest till we're number one.
We will not rest. That's exactly right. We will continue mentioning, and we will dig into. I believe Coach has a now you're looking for an interview with a South Korean player. Is that not the case, Coach?
We talked about it. I think it might be possible to happen. A former member of their Korean national team, in fact.
That sounds fantastic. So you see, we respond. People come up to us and we respond. And if anybody knows how to get in touch with a South Korean national team member and you would like to hear them on the Youth Hockey Podcast, the fact that we're number 2 in South Korea, we'll do it. We'll absolutely do it.
I mean, that might even motivate him even more.
No, exactly. Who knows? Maybe somebody is out there. And I had one more little distinction for us. We are now 67 in the United Kingdom under Hockey Podcasts. 67 as of the time this Hockey Podcast went to print.
Wow. Well, I know. I feel like we should be doing better there.
I feel like we're
at least a mid 50.
I think in Watford we're doing exceptionally well, but we just let's face it, like places like Kilmarnock, places like Edinburgh, we're just slacking. We're not really giving it 100% to reach out to the island cultures, and so we just haven't done it. But I'm telling you, Cardiff. If you want to get on the line and give us your idea of what youth hockey is like in jolly old England or Cardiff would be.
Well, I noticed
Wales.
You're doing all like Scotland and Wales here.
Well, no, I mean
how are we doing in
Coventry,
central London?
Oh, wow, of course. You want okay? We're doing very well in you're right, the outlying areas, central London. I don't think we're sophisticated enough for central London yet. I don't think we are. I think once we get our act together, London will be on, they'll get on the line.
Yeah. But once the Piccadilly Circus numbers start coming in from Arbitron, we'll pick up there.
I'm really hopeful. And if you have a story from any country and you would like to reach out to Youth Hockey Podcast, please do so at youthhockeypodcast@gmail.com. youthhockeypodcast@gmail.com. Lance, we're in the middle of the season. I don't know if you noticed.
I did know that.
Right, so we're
early middle. How's that?
Okay. We're in the early middle of the season. And this is the time when I would say some ideas and feelings shift on your teams. Not my teams, but like on some teams. And that was your topic for today. So I wanted to set you up with that idea, which is that as the season goes along, this is kind of a critical time for some parents and some kids on hockey teams, because it's no longer something that's new and fresh and all those things. And it is a time where a lot of people's attitudes evolve. So please take it from there, Lance.
Well, I would just say that, like, this is the time, like you and I talked about over the seasons, this is about the time when, and I'll pose this to Coach Dave here, you did your homework, you went out, you got to know everything about the team, how your player fits in with that team, and is it going to be a good fit and now not a good fit, and now all of a sudden you fast forward, and the season isn't going the way you hoped, whether it's your kid just doesn't seem to be meshing with the coach and the coach's philosophy, or he's not, he or she are not performing up to the standard you thought they would, or maybe it's just simply the team itself is underperforming. And, you know, the question becomes, you know, what do you do? You know, where do you go from here? I think one of Randy's suggestion is, well, maybe you quit the team, right, Randy? Go find something
Lance,
better.
I don't believe I have ever recommended in my long youth hockey career, I don't think I've ever said, hey, quitting sounds like a smart idea.
What happens though? Well, if you don't like the jersey colors?
Let's take the idea of the team underperforming. I would say that if you think the team is underperforming and you think that the moves are not being made that could help the team get to a higher or stronger position, I think you certainly have every right to talk to whoever you want to, but I can also say that I don't think it is a parent's they're not in a very strong position when they go and talk to the coach, because honestly the coach probably knows a lot more about hockey than most parents. Not all, there are a bunch of people out there. Coach, you watched your kid go through this all, and you had more hockey knowledge than 90% of the coaches out there that were on the bench with your kid. But I don't think you have much leverage in that situation. And I don't think they want to hear your ideas or what the ideas that would make the team better from you.
What do you do? What do you do when you're the parent and you see this great potential on paper, but you think, and this has happened a lot, when we should be going left, the coach wants to go right. When we should be going up, the coach wants to go down. And you just think the decisions are not what you would be making. I'll tell you what I would do, coach, though.
You chose that coach. And, sometimes you have to swallow. I mean, if you chose that coach at the beginning of the year, that's where you voted, right? It's hard to like take back a vote. It's like, okay, I voted, but now I want to unvote for you. I mean, I'm certain that in politics that's happened more than once, but you can't do it, right? I mean, you can't unvote for someone. It's there now. Yeah. So, I mean, but go ahead, Lance. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Well, I was going to say, I want to ask from Coach Dave's perspective, what he thinks should happen, or how it should play out, because I've seen before, and for me personally, it drives me nuts, and I just don't like this approach. But I've seen too many times in this situation where, like you said, parents are suddenly engaging the coach and telling him how to coach the team, or like, hey, and it's always the same. My little Johnny should be on the power play, or my little Johnny should be doing this and that in the first line. And for me, that as a parent, not engaging the coach, it kind of annoys me. I don't like it. But so, Coach, what do you think? What do we do?
Yeah, I think you're at the point in the season where you really just have two paths. You either are thinking about how you can get off the team and eject and go someplace else or find an alternative, or you're just bucking up and saying to your kid, work harder, talk to the coach, find out what you could be doing better, watch your videos, work on yourself, and just improve and make yourself the best player you can be under the circumstances. That's really the only two options. Although I do understand what you're saying as well, which is, man, it's hard to resist that paranoid feeling that other people are chirping, and talking and in the coach's ear. And are you not, not doing the job to back up your kid if you're not one of those people reminding them that, hey, we're here too, and we care and we're paying attention. And, that's the dilemma. I have never seen a coach that, I'll put it this way. I think the coaches have decided, as in terms of the parents, at this juncture of the season who they like and who they don't like, or, you know, who they think are the right type of people, or, you know, whatever else might be going on.
We had one coach in a place that both my sons played, where it was much more, it was about the parents that the coaches didn't like and the parents that the coach hated. He didn't like anybody. I to this day do not believe that this guy liked anybody. Right.
His scale started
His scale started much lower. Negative. Yeah, yeah. It was never like and dislike. It was always like, you know, the vitriol.
Right. The idiots down to the...
Yes, yeah, that's right.
The subhumans.
Yes.
Never be acknowledged.
The useless idiots were at the top, by the way. Those are the people that were at the very top of the scale. And then it just went down from there. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, I was going to ask Lance, have you ever been on, because there are sometimes at this point in the year where coaches get, where you change coaches, where there's a changeover because everybody on the team, in fact, there was one, a team that I know of in SoCal that changed a coach very recently. Yeah, I know. But it was at a lower level. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't like, it wasn't one of the AA teams. It was just an organization that I know and hear about. So have you ever seen a time when they change coaches and things improve? I always thought, oh my God, you know, like, cause we've changed coaches a couple times in the season. We've had it happen. Once where I think they wanted to do it, and once where it just happened, couldn't, you know, there's nothing. Have you ever seen it get better when the coaches change?
Well, my only experience, Randy, you know.
I know that one. Yeah, I know that one. That one didn't help.
We had three different coaches. I know. And that didn't go well.
It just kept getting worse. What was interesting is we thought at the beginning, well, it can't be any worse than this. And then we changed. And we were like, oh, my God, it absolutely can't get any worse than this. And it changed. And we're like, holy crap, what happened? How is it possible that every time there was an administrative change in this hockey program, it got worse?
Oh, I love that. I love those times. I know we've talked about in the past, but my favorite part was when we were having a team party, remember? And I asked the coach, why aren't you coming? Oh, you people hate me. I'm not going to show up. You don't want me there. Oh, God.
That was, that's what I'm saying is, you know, they are, the coach is, has got a lot of emotions that are tied up in all the things that are going on. And, if things aren't going well, the only advice I would give that I think is regardless of level and regardless of stature is when you wade into your child's coach's realm, you are taking a chance that it will impact your kid because these are human beings and they're not it's like anybody coming into your office and telling you how to do your job. There is a chance that you're very secure about yourself and you'd be like, oh, okay, well that does sound right. But you know, a lot of the times you are entering the lion's den. And if you don't have a chair and a whip and a really cool hat, you might not make it out. And you might not get heard the way you want to be heard either. I have started a conversation once with a coach that 3 words in, he decided what I was about to say and started replying to that. And that was so weird. No, you know what I mean? Where you're like, coach, I really wanted to talk to you, you know, and it's like, you know, blah, 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 blah. And you're like, no, I was going to talk to you about hair removal or, you know, like, you know, it's like, but no, he thought he knew what I was coming to talk to him about. And he launched early. It was a situation where I think, there was nothing to be gained by talking to that particular person. And there are also things that I think where people have already talked to him. That's the other thing. The other thing you have to know is when you go and talk to a coach at this point in the, you're probably not the first, you know, it's like, there's probably been like seven other, you know, jerks, you know, you're a jerk as well in this scenario.
But you know, what's so funny is that I think back on that one coach and I think to myself, you know, God bless him, because his attitude truly was, I know you hate me. And, you know, there's nothing I can do. And he had kind of a fresh attitude, because how many coaches can you remember, Randy, who really had that attitude of, you know, I know you hate me. I don't care that you hate me, and I'm going to do things so you'll hate me even more.
I don't know, Lance. I'm going to try to say zero. You know, I just, I honestly hope that that's not the adversarial position you ever get in with a coach. If you get in that position, there is something though. If you are yelling, you know, if you are yelling at, because I've seen people that yell at coaches and things like that.
Right.
I've always taken it as a sign of insecurity.
Yeah.
Nobody that knows what they're talking about yells. You know what I mean? I you know, listen to coach. Listen to how soft-spoken coach is. Coach, do you mind coming in here for a second?
Yes.
Just talk to us for a second. Just for a minute.
Well, here,
just
talk how about, to us I'll throw this about anything.
Coach. You know, I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
Do you see that? Coach doesn't need to yell. Listen to it. But go ahead. Just keep going.
I've yelled plenty of times about different stuff where I realized, you know, my voice was raised. And I think I remember, you know, reading or seeing something a long, long time ago. It's always stayed with me where it said, you know, if you're having some kind of a conversation with somebody and you get to the point where you're angry and your voice is raised, that the person that you're talking to at that point no longer can hear the substance of anything you're trying to say.
Yes.
I've always, you know, whether that's true or a truism where that came from, a study, I don't know, but I've, you know, for some reason that stayed with me, and I've tried to remind myself that at that, the point that you, I also understand, like, it's, I mean, these types of circumstances, you know, nothing gets people more upset than something to do with their kids. So it's easy to get to let your emotions run away with you. And but, you know, again, I go back to there's you really just have the two choices. It's either stay with it and you know, try and encourage your kid to just succeed as best they can in the circumstances. Or get out. Going to talk to the coach and getting to the point where you get mad at them and get into an argument, it's never going to work out for you.
Okay. And
you know, Randy, by the way, I got a solution.
Yes.
I got the.
Of course you do.
Here's the way I approach it. You ready?
Yes.
Here's what you do. See, you got Coach A. He's coaching your kids' peewee team. You know, and what I did is, you know, like, hey, coach, can I talk to you? I heard you're from like Philadelphia. And they always say, yeah, sure. Okay. Well, hey, I'm going to be there. What's a great Philly cheesesteak place you can recommend? And we chat about, and I said, you know, talking about Philly cheesesteak, did you know my son used to be like first line power play on this team the last 2 years?
Just to shoehorn that in.
That is, by the way, that is
very civil conversation.
You are so good. You're the master at slipping things in. I doubt if he even noticed, by the way. That's how skilled you were at communicating a point, a subtle, subtle point. Thank you for that. That actually feels great.
Thank you. Lance, you know, yeah, honestly, Randy,
I wanted to go back. I want to go back to now. We did the coaches. How about the kids? What do you do when your own kid is underperforming? Because I think that is another interesting topic that you brought up at the beginning, Lance. What do you do at this point? You're early mid season. What do you do if it's not the coach's fault? That your kid isn't on the power play, but it's, you know, you can tell your kid is not doing what you thought he was going to.
All right. Well, there's two parts to that, because what I do and what I want to do now, I want to do is go into a private room and just beat the hell out of the walls with a baseball bat. But what I end up doing is just saying, hey, it'll be okay. Just keep a stiff upper lip, and it is what it is. Have fun. We're here for fun. Don't worry that I just spent $10,000 in airfare so that you could go to some chowder cup in Boston and stuff. Just have fun. Like, I gotcha. Money well spent. So,
okay, Dave, what do you do? I mean, when your kid is not doing what you think he can be doing on a team, do you even bring it up? I mean, Lance might be right. Bringing it up, although I think it's different between effort and result. I mean, I think you can bring up the idea that every kid should really put out a certain amount of effort to the game. I don't think that's as off bounds as, you know, you're not scoring enough. I think that's a really strange thing to say to a kid, because, you know, that's there's a lot of that goes into scoring a goal. That's not always his fault. But, you know, if you see the kid, like, you know, skating in circles and not putting much effort out, I think you can breach that a little bit. Again, we're talking about, right, like, you know, it depends on the age as well. I'm not going to tell my six-year-old that he needs to, you know, dad needs to see more effort. No, that is not true. No, but I can see when you get into like your 14-year-old and you do send them to the Chowder Cup and, you know, you're sitting there watching on Live Barn, can't see a damn thing because Live Barn sucks so badly. But when you do see him in the frame, you notice that he or she is not moving very fast, and everyone else seems to be very, very excited about playing hockey, you might be able to make that point. But what do you think, Coach?
I think it's very dependent on age, how much of a conversation you can have, and how much readiness your particular kid has. I actually think the only way that you get anything positive out of it is if the kid comes upon some kind of a aha moment to themselves. They figure something out themselves.
The group from the late 80s, or aha as in epiphany?
As in epiphany.
Love aha. Okay.
I was just wondering, because really either one could be, you know, like, you remember Take right. on Me, right?
And yeah, and they maybe the were Bond singing,
theme as well. Yeah, yeah, okay.
Really,
yeah.
Well.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe look, that's their
kid's
thing.
Having an aha moment right now. Seeing that.
Yeah, like, the Bond thing.
Yeah.
Hey, not to change the subject, daylights. By the way.
Go ahead.
But not to change the subject, but aha, I just saw a video of them. They did an unplugged version of Take On Me.
Oh, of course. You know,
I think you're when you only have one song, groups.
Yeah, what? Is aha not the Living Daylights?
No.
Which one's
that? I think that's Duran Duran. Yeah,
exactly.
No, that's not.
You don't
no.
know your 80s bands.
No. The Duran Duran is View to a Kill. And yes, all we see correct. Is a view to a kill.
Uh-huh. Oh, so you're saying aha had a group too. Okay. Or had a song too.
Yeah, they're the Living Daylights. That's what I was just saying. It's the
you're just more of an aha aficionado than either Lance or I.
Well, I'm not positive. By the way, if somebody notices in the background that, oh, he was singing, you know, I don't know, Flock of Seagulls or something like that, I'm sorry, but I thought that
holy
was aha.
Holy moly.
Yes.
I just looked it up.
Yes.
You learn something new every day. Aha, sang the Living Daylights.
That's what I was just singing in the background.
I can't believe it.
The living.
But to all the hockey fans out there, I highly recommend you listen to Take On Me by Aha Unplugged for MTV.
Oh.
That is, you know, because it was not a slow song, but he sings it a cappella. Most beautiful thing I've heard.
Yeah. Ah, well, that's very nice. Very nice of you, Lance. See, plug an aha. Maybe that'll get us some points in where aha from. Yeah, you're looking them up. Where are they from?
They're from what? Finland.
Finland. Maybe the Finnish. Okay.
No, making well, a big... maybe I'm wrong there. Wait a second.
That's sure. Okay. I don't care. I'm making a big push for the Finnish market. Come on, Finland. You know who you are. You have youth people in the hockey zones now. I want to be on the Finnish board.
Norwegian.
That's Norway. What I meant. Norway, you know who you are. I want to be on the Norwegian boards, and I want to be higher than we are on the Finnish boards, if at all possible. Please, Norway, make that dream come true. Make that dream come true. I think we've left the room now as far as kids not performing. Can we call that one a finished topic, or was there more to be said on it?
I think that's it. But does anyone have a quiz this week or some challenge?
I have something else. I have a question from South Korea that came in on the hotline. That's youthhockeypodcast@gmail.com. I tried to give my own reply to this, but I thought I should do it on the air because I think Dave will have a much better understanding of the geography than I would. So I'm going to give it to you. This guy was originally from Montreal, Detroit area, and he's been living in Korea for the past decade. He's raising two future NHLers, which you got to respect. He knows this at 8 and 6. I love that. I mean, come on. Thanks. 8 and 6, and he knows. And that's fantastic.
Kids have never thrown a pizza.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, at 8 and 6, that's the best time to be raising NHL players anyway. They're so, you know,
you
they're so awesome.
Start that early.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Okay, they're moving. They're relocated to either Detroit or Chicago in the next couple of years. They have houses in both places. I told them, by the way, Youth Hockey Podcast would like to use whichever house you don't. So if at all possible, if you don't use the Detroit house, if you go to Chicago, give the Detroit house to us. We'll move in. We'll do more podcasts. It'll be a great thing for everyone. Same way, flip-flop Chicago, Detroit. But they want to know how you break in to local hockey coming from an unknown or outsider perspective. He hears that it's very intense and a little bit exclusive. And you know, what do you do? Do you go to camps and clinics? Do you do the summer? Do you cold call? He does not want to feel like he's an outsider when he starts coming into the world of hockey from another country. And I think, by the way, this could be a great topic anyway, because it's how do you dip your toe into the world of competitive hockey in a new market? That's really the boiling it down. But if you have any ideas about Detroit or Chicago, Coach, that would even be whipped cream on top. So what would you say, given that question?
Before Dave jumps in, I got to say, I think the food's better in Chicago. And you know, Randy,
much better. Chicago
food. You got to go with the food first.
Actually, you're right. So maybe that answer should just stick. The food is excellent in Chicago. And, you know, you're going to have to live wherever your kids are playing hockey. So go to Chicago.
Yeah, especially if you like deep dish pizza.
That's a lot of cheese though. That's a lot of cheese. But well, I don't think
Randy likes the deep dish
pizza. I don't. You know, it's a lot of cheese. That's what I'm saying. You know, let's say you were at somebody. Let's say somebody says to you, "Here's a block of cheese. I'm going to melt it on top of a cracker and hand it to you and expect you to eat it." No, wait. Let me bathe it in some sauce too. Let's make it almost a soup on top. That's what they're offering you, and you are all excited about it, Lance. I can't get that excited. But Coach, breaking into a new competitive place from a totally different, you're coming from very far away. What would you say is good advice for this young intrepid parent?
Yeah, you've got to get the lay of the land. Just get your kid out on the ice with other kids of that age. Find out what the teams are, what the programs are and contact them and say, "I've got these two kids and we're a hockey family and we want to play," and start getting a feel for what organizations you like and see who's excited about having your kids on the, in their program.
And I would say cold calling is not a good idea. I don't think hockey coaches really take a phone call as a very, you know, I don't think they take it as being, you know, like you're going to show up. You know, there's always emails and texts and stuff like that. Coaches like it when you show up. You know what I mean? Once you're on the ice with the kid, that means a lot. But I don't think you necessarily have to or it's a big deal to reach out beforehand. I think being there and getting your kids on the ice is probably the most important of those steps that you were just talking about.
Yeah. Until they see something with their own eyes, you're just a name.
Yeah, exactly. And especially if it's a big program and some of these places do. I mean, Chicago, Detroit, they live hockey. They're going to be
two of the biggest markets, Midwest markets that there is for hockey.
Right. Sure. You go Minnesota, Boston, these are places that love hockey and have huge programs. And, you know, they're used to taking people in. That's the other thing you should know. The places that have real hockey factories are used to bringing new kids in all the time. And they want to. I really believe that most of these places are welcoming well, welcoming might be a little too far when you talk about the East Coast, but they do want your kid. They want your kid in the program. They might not say it in the nicest way. Hey, yeah, yeah, I guess I'll take him. I guess, yeah, Johnny will be fine. Yeah, just go pick him up at three. Pick him up at three.
So now, Randy, knowing me and how I approach things, yeah. What do you think the first step Lance would do? Say,
spreadsheet.
Just hypothetically, spreadsheet. I'm moving to Detroit.
Right, spreadsheet.
What is Lance going to do first? What'd you say?
Spreadsheet. First, well, you would get out your Excel.
Populating the spreadsheet.
Okay, please tell me, Lance. Go ahead.
All right. Lance would go to myhockeyrankings.com and start looking the top rated. And they have it. They rank teams from squirts on up. So whatever level other than might. I'm going to look actually, and see who are some good programs.
They don't rank Swerts anymore. There was a press release that the guy behind it does not think it's ethical to rank anything less than PVs. I believe that was something I saw come across the old dials. I'm not positive that's true, but I saw an article about it.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
Real shame that. People at 10U won't be able to
really beat their chests. Look, my 9-year-old who's playing up on a 10U team. And look at how great this is. Yeah.
I mean, have you seen the Corsi 4 for my kid?
Some of these other
bags of sand that he's got on his line, and he is literally carrying the entire team.
Elite prospects. 7 years old.
He's got his verified dimples. Elite prospects.
Yeah. That's right. He's already got the picture, already got the artwork.
He's got 10,000 views.
Highlight reel. Come on, don't forget the highlight reel. Here he is. Like, look at how he deked that goalie. He moved him. Oh, my God. And to the backhand and lift. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny you bring that up because, boy, it sure is a lot of perspective. It reminds me of being at a particular rink, and there was a Mike Jamboree, and the parents were very boisterous and
enthusiastic,
going nuts. Yeah. I'm watching this and I'm going, my God, this is some of the most ridiculous hockey I've ever seen. And you know, at the time, when my kid was that age, I was, you know, the same way down there. How did you see, like, he actually received that pass and didn't go through his legs on that one. He went down and passed it over to Billy. Like, that's incredible. Like, what I'm seeing there.
He was a magician. That's right. At 6 years old, they're just magicians sometimes, aren't they?
And you know, you watch these. I mean, that's the biggest thing about a guy with kids at 6 and 8. It's like, honestly, when your kids are older and you see that kind of hockey, it's almost unwatchable because you just can't get back to that magic moment. But when it's your kid, you know, it's amazing. But to anybody else that's watching, hard to tell the difference. There's a couple of rare kids that just, you know, have something at that age, but the vast majority of kids are more clumped in the middle, and you know, it should be about fun and development and not future NHL aspirations.
Yeah, and to those of you who are out there that have kids that are middle clumpers, and David just brought this up, clumped in the middle, just so you know. 2 years from now, they could be the best kid on the team. That's the lovely thing about hockey. There's always these middle clumpers who, like, you know, everybody's, you know, nobody is like nice to your kid. Nobody. And then 2 years later, middle clumper comes in and he's leading the league. So there is a nice part about hockey that you just don't know. Like, the kid that's the star in Pee Wee could be a complete, you know, regular look. Yeah, I still remember how many kids when they moved from Pee Wee to Bantam, that just, you know, they were so good as Pee Wees when no one's hitting them. And then in Bantam, they just went away. You know, they just weren't the same. And it took years to figure it out, or, you know, it didn't. You know, there, some other kid figured it out fast. So middle clumpers out there, unite. Know that your kid might be a top clumper at some point.
Well, you know, so funny you mentioned that, Randy.
Yeah.
Is because I'm just thinking back, and you guys can think in your head. So I'm thinking back to mites. All right. The kids are 7 and 8 years old. And yeah, I got in my mind who the number one guy, the best player, hands down, on our mite team was. has been out of hockey, stopped playing hockey long, long time ago. Now I'm going under squirts, and I could think of like the four or five guys we played with that were at the top, really strong players. And yeah, most of those guys quit around 12, 13 years old. Peewees, a couple of good players, I think, are still out there in the system somewhere, but
yeah, I hate to tell you this. The peewees that we played with, the best peewee that we played with is now leading the NCDC in scoring, I've heard.
Oh, there you go. That's right.
You told me, by the way, Lance. You're the one that told me that. So
I think we
I'm just saying, there's a couple. Like peewees, you know, where it really starts getting real is I would say, like, at Bantam, you start seeing the strong Bantams, I think, are probably still making a go of it. I would say probably the weaker Bantams have trailed off. I mean, the point is this, is that, like you said, I think the number one mistake that I made was at the Mite, Squirt, Peewee ages, taking it too seriously, you know? Because like you said, whether your kid was the worst guy or the best guy, you know, 4 or 5 years from now, going to be a completely different human being, you know? So
yeah, and just if the kids I mean, we were talking about it before, and I think it's there's a real potential to just put too much pressure on your kid to the point that they don't want to play anymore, because if they're already feeling pressure, you know, from the coach, and they feel like they're not doing what is wanted, and thus they're not being rewarded, they're not getting ice time or whatever it might be going on there, and then you dogpile on and go, yeah, you know, I understand why you're not getting out, because how many times does that puck come around the boards there, and you know, you got to get your head up and make that breakout pass, and yeah, you're not doing it, you're just throwing it away. And you know, it's pretty quick that thing turns into I don't want to play this sport anymore, because it's just there's no nothing positive for me. I'm not, all I'm getting is criticism. And so it's easier to do something else. So go play, you know, I kick ass on Xbox. I mean, I'm destroying grown men, and, you know,
I'm an amazing pickleball player. You know what I mean? I can play pickleball. Like, you know, well, why would I want to put up with this frustration when my pickleball skills are this good?
Yeah.
Guys, I'm going to wrap up episode 10 because I feel like that is about the time. You know, once I mention pickleball, I believe that we no longer really have got the, like, right.
It ain't over till the pickleball is brought in.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, thank you all for listening. I hope the mid-season blues are actually the mid-season. What would be the opposite of blues? Vibrant yellows?
The doldrum days of dog.
The dog days have turned into the cat days.
No, the glory days of
the glory days. Yeah, okay. I hope that the doldrums turn into the glory days for all of your teams. And if they're not, you know, steeped in glory, you know, at least you handle the problems with a little dignity, and that the kids have a lot of fun the entire time. So from the Youth Hockey Podcast family of Coach Ralston, Lance Alexander, and myself, we thank you for listening, and we ask you to please email us at youthhockeypodcast@gmail.com. And this is special for South Korea. If you can get us into the South Korean team, men's or women's, I'm not gender. I can handle. I would love an interview with somebody on either of the teams. Please let us know, and we will see you at episode 11. Thank you for listening.
Remember to visit Gabe Gifford Hockey. The link is in the description and the webpage below.